And we saw tires, and we saw wheels, and we saw a wheel that wouldn't come off. And yeah, the tires and the wheels still need to get fixed. But Kurt Busch was still able to get his win, had a great race with Kyle Lawson all the way to the end, which made things exciting. But a lot of top contenders taken out by all the tires and wheel debacles that happened at Kansas Motor Speedway. So let's talk about it in the podcast. Let's go! Race Car Podcast is created by the Combustion Gamer YouTube channel and exclusively put onto TCG Podcast for all listening platforms. Thank you. So guys, we now have 11 different winners in the NASCAR Cup Series. That's a lot. And we haven't even made it anywhere close yet to Daytona for the cutoff to the playoffs. And there's quite a few drivers that have looked really good this season that could potentially get a win. So could we potentially see 16 different drivers? Possibly. It's not likely. It doesn't normally happen. But it is very possible this season, which will make things very, very interesting to see. So what were the top performers of the NASCAR race at Kansas? Well, for the Cup Series anyways, the top performers, there was quite a few, because you had Chase Elliott had some good speed, William Byron had good speed, Ross Chastain had good speed. So Daniel Suarez looked very good for the first part of the race. Looked like he had a good top 10 car, if not a winning car. Obviously, we did not get to see any end results from him due to the tire debacle which happened on his car, which happened to many other cars, but he got taken out due to that tire issue once again. So tire issues causing a lot of good drivers and good performing teams to have issues. So not helpful, but still, Daniel Suarez is taken out by that. Ross Chastain looked really good. Never was quite able to get out of the top 10. Had several issues where he went farther back in the end of stage 3 during a pit stop. So ended up going back. Still able to get a top 10, but not really able to go up and contend for a win at the end of the day. But still, Trackhouse had very fast cars all day, and if both of them had actually been up there, they probably would have been the team to beat in the end of the race. So that was definitely interesting to see. But Trackhouse, definitely worthy to keep an eyeball on. They looked pretty good, other than pit issues and tire issues in the end of the day. RFK, Chris Buescher, Brad Keselowski had some speed in the earlier part of the race, but pit strategy and going lap down and other issues with cautions, ended up putting the 17 multiple laps down, couldn't quite get back up, and unfortunately the beautiful King's Hawaiian pretzel bun car driven by Brad Keselowski never really had quite enough speed throughout the day to really go up and contend for anything in the top 10. Still, they had fairly decent cars, but definitely did not look as good as they had previously on the intermediate tracks, so that's definitely interesting to note. Eric Jones had a really good run going on throughout the day, made some very interesting pit strategy choices, but still was able to get a top 10 finish in stage 1, get some points, but then of course you had the issue with the lug nut. Yes, the lug nut issue. So some say that it's over-tightened, some say that it wasn't over-tightened, I don't necessarily know. All we know for sure is that lug nut would not come off. That is what we know for sure. And it was definitely amazing to see that pit crew go through all the different options of the tools to try and get that wheel off, try to get that lug nut loosened. Finally able to do so, but at the expense of putting Eric Jones multiple laps down. GMS Racing and Eric Jones specifically look really, really fast. I think Ty Denham was able to get it into the top 20, so still fairly decent finish for that number 42 team, as Ty Denham is still trying to kind of get back up to speed with the sport where it is today after being gone for, I think, a season. So not bad for him, but Eric Jones definitely looked like a top contender going into the first part of this race, except for, of course, the stupid lug nut issue, which also seemed to have an issue with, I believe, Chase Elliott or Kyle Lawson, where they had a lug nut that almost didn't want to come off. So that was an issue that two different teams had on the same race. And of course you had multiple tire issues throughout as well. You also had Chase Elliott later on, speaking of the Hendrick cars, who ended up losing a tire altogether. The wheel amazingly stayed on, but the tire totally came off of the wheel, causing him to spin and have a very interesting, almost airborne dance as he transitioned from the banking to the flat surface on the racetrack. And that was for a flat tire, that was a very creepy looking spin, and definitely do not want to see that repeated. But luckily he was okay, able to continue the race, but still not a fun spin there for Chase Elliott. Definitely not what I would prefer to see on track. Also, you had a caution, I believe, during the second stage of the race, where Byron is actually leading, and the caution came out just at the opportune time when he noticed he had a flat tire. So luckily, able to come in and get that fixed, but was never able to really compete again throughout the rest of the race. So William Byron had some good speed, able to actually be leading for some of the race, and then of course, flat tire issue, once again, took the leader of the race out. You also had multiple issues on pit road, where you had tires actually coming off. I believe one tire, they were able to stopped the car and able to get that fixed. So luckily that didn't roll anywhere. But of course Bubba Wallace and the number 23 team lost their tire, and the tire actually got punted and hit several cars throughout the race. And I have not heard yet if that has resulted in what I would expect to be a 4-week penalty for two of the pit crew members and the crew chief, as that tire was not just a loose tire on pit road, it was a runaway impediment on the track tire. So I haven't heard that, but if NASCAR is consistent, we will see a 3-week suspension for multiple members of the 23 team. And in that particular case, I got to admit that is that's definitely warranted, due to the fact that I believe Ross Chastain actually hit the tire and his speed was never quite the same after that. And so yeah, that was definitely, with how high that tire flew, that was not a good look. So yeah. Honestly, on that, I think the penalty is well deserved in that particular case, but I do have to say that we need to fix the tires. The tires and the lug nuts have to get fixed, and my opinion is still the same as it has been from the introduction of the single lug nut. We need to have 5 lug nuts on the car. Maybe not even 5 lug nuts, maybe just 4 lug nuts. I prefer 5 myself, but I think we need to go back to that lug nut wheel. Due to one factor, like everyone wants to say, oh yeah, look, it's more street-like, it's more car street-like. It's like, yes, the design of the wheel itself is more street-like, but almost all cars, whether it is the newer version of an electric car or the same old and dependable combustion cars, it is multiple lug nuts holding those wheels on. And I think that's what NASCAR needs to go back to, because I will say that, yes, there were issues with multiple lug nuts because teams did not try to cheat the system, tried not to put as many lug nuts on there, so he had issues. But still, we didn't see last year this many tires falling off, this many tires rolling off, this many tires having issues with the wheels and tires combined. We did not see this much of an issue in previous years as we have in just, I believe, like the first third of this season. That's a problem. And I think that, one, the tire is not ready. I don't think the tire's compound is correct, as we've saw multiple tires with issues. We've seen multiple issues on multiple intermediate tracks. Definitely at Daytona we saw a lot of issues, but for sure intermediate tracks definitely seems to be the consistent theme. Tires are going down. Tires are going flat for no, like, not necessarily debris issues, not necessarily wreck issues, but due to just the tires failing, and that's an issue that needs to get fixed. So maybe Goodyear air pressures were brought up, that might be a factor that needs to be considered. But still, the fact that we're this far into the season and the tire compound still haven't been fixed, the issue still hasn't been fixed, I think needs to be worked on, because we have the new fender flares, which help the tires stay safe. So I mean, that's a good feature, and it's definitely seemed to work out very good. But before, the previous year, we had tires with interliners. We had tires with those interliners that helped keep the tire up a little bit longer, help the tire not totally shred, not totally go flat, and have an issue like we saw with Chase Elliott, where the tire just left the wheel completely. We didn't see as many issues of that previously. And so I think that tire compound with this new car would make for extremely good racing, and I think that is what we need to go back to. So I don't, and by the way, I don't think it's necessarily a going back to. I think it's going with what's dependable and workable, and I think that particular tire compound, that particular tire setup, and that wheel are far more reliable than whatever this garbage is that NASCAR has decided to saddle the teams with. And NASCAR has admitted, to some extent, but still won't fix the issue, saying that they know that there is an issue with the tire and the wheel, but they will not fix it. They have not fixed it. They have not said, hey, we have a plan for next year where we're going to fix it. And that NASCAR just needs to bite the bullet and say, hey, we're switching the cars back to what they need to be, which is the five lug nut hubs. So maybe people don't like that, and that's fine. Some people probably see it as a departure back to the past. I don't. I see it as a dependable, workable tire that should be used in racing. So just and thing people saying that, oh look, well all these other motorsports can use this. Well, guess what? NASCAR is not like any other sport. NASCAR is not the same thing as F1. NASCAR is not the same thing as IMSA. NASCAR is not the same thing as IndyCar. NASCAR is not the same thing as Rally. NASCAR is NASCAR. NASCAR is not. By the way, so let me just point this out. Look at the NASCAR Truck Series. Look at the NASCAR Xfinity Series. What have we not seen in those series that we have seen in the Cup Series over and over and over again this season? We have not seen tires suddenly pop off and leave unless there has been a major failure of the hub. In fact, I don't think I, and maybe my memory is incorrect, but I don't remember, other than possibly loose lug nuts, a tire leaving a truck on Xfinity car this season. That's true. There are less races in the Truck Series race. There are less races in the Xfinity race compared to the Cup Series. But all those races combined are more, and all those races combined are technically not, well, maybe not, but they're a good amount of distance that those tires have had to run on, a good amount of distance that those wheels have had to run on. And what have we not seen? We have not seen the tires leaving, the tires bumping, jumping, racing cars off a pit road. We have not seen that. And so I think NASCAR needs to bite bullet and do that, because Xfinity has proven the tires are still good. Trucks have proven the tire and compound and the wheel are still good. What has the Cup Series proven? The wheel and the tire are not good. They're breaking. They are causing issues. They're causing scary crashes with Chase Elliott. Now, by the way, so maybe like a scary crash, we think of a car flying up into the air into the fence at Daytona. When Chase Elliott hit that thing, his car shot upwards. That was scary. That is, and not necessarily scary as in your hot stop, but just the fact of a car that has just lost a tire, you don't want to see it coming off the ground. That is not what we should be seeing from a car that has lost a tire. The car should be slowing down. The car should not be lifting off of the ground. That's not something we want to see. That's not good. That's bad. That is very, very bad to see a car suddenly pitching itself up into the air almost. Luckily, it didn't come off the ground, but still, the front end of that car was off the ground for an extended period of time as it spun. That's not what we want to see. And so, for safety reasons, and also for the consistency, I want to see the five lug nuts return. I want to see the old tires return, because safety-wise, dependability-wise, and also race result-wise, because a lot of the drivers have had the issues with the tires, with the wheels. Guess what? They're losing team members for 3 weeks, 4 weeks, or more, plus also potentially financial penalties, depending on how bad NASCAR decides to take the issue. Plus also Chase Elliott, William Byron, Daniel Suarez. I think there's a few other people, but their races, not necessarily ruined, but it hurt them pretty bad. I mean, William Byron, he didn't get many points throughout the race. Never really showed much speed after the event. Daniel Suarez couldn't get back off. Back on the lead lap, and so he loses points. He finished the race, but he loses points that he showed in the first stage he could have potentially gotten. And so these tires are hurting drivers' finishing results, finishing their ability to compete for wins, finishing for their ability to point their way into the playoffs, and hurting their ability to show to sponsors, hey, look, this is how high up these drivers have finished in a season. And be able to sell sponsorship because they're able to sell the drivers as a good investment. And so for me as a fan, for me as a fictional team owner looking at that, as a driver looking at that, as a sponsor looking at that, that's not good. That's not a good thing, and that needs to be remedied by simply biting the bullet and saying, hey, the old tires worked fine, the old wheels worked fine, and we've proven this year with a side-by-side comparison of trucks, Xfinity, and Cup. The trucks in Xfinity are not having nearly as many problems with the tires and the wheels as the Cup Series are. So, side-by-side comparison right there. Sure, maybe trucks in Xfinity aren't running as long or at as high of a speed as the Cup Series are running, but we still see what? We still see that those tires and those wheels are not having near as many issues as the new garbage things that are on the track now. Now, by the way, I still think that the design of the wheel to look like a streetcar, I think that definitely should be incorporated. I think that should be worked. I think there's a way you can do that, but not at the expense of safety and not at the expense of allowing the drivers to actually be able to have good races without impediment from NASCAR and Goodyear. Because currently, Goodyear and NASCAR's mandatoriness of the single lug nut, that is hurting drivers, that is hurting teams, that is hurting potential sponsors coming into the sport, because the sponsors that might want to sponsor these particular drivers are seeing what? They're seeing that they're having bad race results, and they don't necessarily see as good of a value in their investment as they otherwise would. And so that's my particular take on the tires. Maybe I rambled on a little bit more, but there's a lot of different factors that come into the one single factor. And so I try to, I, I'm trying to, hopefully I covered all of them. There's probably a few more, and there's probably a different side I could have taken, but just watching the issues and seeing what Xfinity and trucks and the Cup have done side by side, I think we need to go back to five lug nuts, and I think we need to get back to the old wheels.
Pace Car Podcast is brought to you by We Stitch Together. We Stitch Together is a Florida-owned and operated craft shop on Etsy. You can get anything from handmade drying mats to reusable napkins. That's right, those nice cloth napkins, all that paper stuff. And they have sales almost monthly, so check them out at etsy.com/shop/WeStitchTogether. Once again, that is www.etsy.com/shop/WeStitchTogether. Make sure you go and check them out. Needing an up-to-date NASCAR 2022 schedule? Well, you can get it. Go over to Ant on the Move on Etsy and you can get your printable NASCAR Cup Series 2022 schedule. You can even check out other printables for Florida, state parks, and other things while you're there. That is Ant on the Move over on Etsy. That is www.etsy.com/shop/AntOnTheMove. Check it out today.
Race-wise, when we look at the next-gen car's performance, we saw multiple cars hit the wall. Mostly iconic is Kyle Larson racing for the lead with along with Kurt Busch, Kyle Busch, etc. And how many times he was able to brush the wall, hit the wall, and well, might have had some damage to the tires, might have had some damage to the car. Previously, that car would have already had a tire cut down, already had a tire flat, already had quite a bit of body damage, but definitely the new composite bodies, which by the way, I love the composite bodies. I think those have been a great invention and have definitely seemed to work very good this season. Definitely seems like that has worked out very well, and to be able to help Kyle Larson for sure, as brushing the wall doesn't cost you the race. It doesn't. It might take some speed, might take make maybe possibly give you some performance damage, maybe some aero damage, maybe a little bit of tire wear off, depending on how hard you hit the wall. But it's definitely nice to see multiple competitors who hit the wall, not have had nearly as many issues, still be able to compete and still be able to potentially at the end of the day go for the win of the race. But I definitely think that the entire race throughout, definitely very competitive throughout the field. Definitely nice to see a lot of different moves available, whether it's the bottom lane, the middle lane, the all the way up by the wall. The cars seemed to handle very well, other than the tire issues. You also had another driver that I did not mention that did very well. Tyler Reddick looked really good throughout the race. Kyle Busch also looked really good throughout the race. Kyle Busch, honestly, obviously wasn't able to get it done in the end. Comes up third, but he looked good throughout the race. You also had, as I said, Tyler Reddick, who looked good but had an issue later on, I believe. Now, part of it was due to a tire issue, but in the end, just had handling issues that would not go away throughout the race, and that ended up sending him to the back and never was quite able to compete again. You also had Eric Almirola, who looked good for part of the race, and then had a cylinder down, so only running a V7 engine versus a V8 compared to everybody else, and that caused him to go further and further back throughout the field. But overall, tires and lug nuts combined, the racing action on the track still looked good, but as I said, tire and lug nuts, that's got to be addressed and has to be fixed in the future here. Alrighty guys, so we have the race results for the Truck Series, and we'll get into the Cup Series and then talk about points, of course, at the end of this episode, as always. And so, what happened in the Truck Series? Well, why didn't I talk about the Truck Series for one? What happened in the Truck Series? Well, basically, it was a Zane Smith show. That's what happened in the Truck Series race. Zane Smith absolutely dominated the race. Obviously, Corey Heim was able to get the stage win in stage one. Zane Smith was right there, though, in third, and Zane Smith just absolutely obliterated the field throughout the race. So that 38 team for Front Row Motorsports, that team is amazing. That team's on fire. And Zane Smith, definitely the top contender currently for the Truck Series Championship. He is just on fire, and it's definitely nice to see a Ford up there competing. Nice to see Ford Performance actually having a good point standings, good driver being able to compete in the Truck Series, as they really only have two other Ford Performance drivers in the series, and so Ford really needs to pick it up in the Truck Series, get some more teams out there. But being able to have Zane Smith there in the number 38, absolutely dominate the race, that's definitely good for Ford Performance in the Truck Series, and just an amazing race put on by him, because he just had an amazing truck that was not going to it wasn't going to end. That truck was just on fire. In the second place, you had Ty Majewski. Grant Infinger looked good throughout the race, gets third. Chandler Smith, Christian Eckers, John Hunter Nemechek all had good speed in the Toyotas. They end up fourth, fifth, and sixth. Matt DiBenedetto started the race out back, never really showed up throughout the first two stages near the top 10 and etc. But in the end, was able to get issues, was able to actually end up in the top 10 at the end of the race. So in the first part of stage 3, he started up fairly high. I believe it was probably 12th. He was able to move his way up to 8th on restart, and then he just dropped like a rock all the way back to basically the last position of the race, of the lead lap cars. And luckily a caution came out, they were able to come, and it was a tire issue. Something with that particular set of tires was just wearing wrong, and the truck just absolutely had no speed, was just dropping like a rock. And luckily, new set of tires, able to fight back all the way from 21st in the late stage restart, and able to get 7th, so good run from Matt DiBenedetto and the 25 team. Keep having issues, keep having bad luck, so they really need to turn the season around, but still, able to get some stage points in the end is definitely helpful. You're able to have Derek Kraus in 8th, Matt Crafton in 9th, and Ben Rhodes rounds out the top 10. You also had Kobe Howard there in 11th, and Riley Herbst making a comeback in the Truck Series, getting some seat time while the Xfinity is gone. Him, Hayden Deegan, Tanner Gray never really had much speed, always seemed to be falling further and further back, but Riley Herbst able to come back and get 12th, so fairly decent finish for him. Chase Petty in 13th, Stuart Friesen in 14th, Carson Hocevar in 15th, Tyler Ingram in 16th, and of course Hayden Deegan leading her teammate in 17th, Tanner Gray finishes 18th. You had Lawless Allen in 19th, and Tate Fogelman rounds out the top 20. You also have Tyler Hill in 21st, Dean Thompson 22nd, Austin Wayne Self in 23rd, Chris Wright in 25th. You have Jack Wood 26th. You also have Ryan Huff in 28th, Trey Hutchins in 29th, and Josh Ream in 30th. And you also have Corey Heim, who, due to an issue, rounds out the cars that finished the race in 33rd.
Want to support the Pace Car Podcast and the Combustion Gamer YouTube channel? Well, you can. Head on over to the Combustion Gamer's Ko-Fi page, where you can become a fan sponsor and donate monthly, or you can give a quick donation for a one-time only. Check it out today, the Combustion Gamer over on Ko-Fi.
Amazing Cup Series racing, very good, very entertaining, and a lot of fun to watch. Definitely the tires issue, the lug nut issue, all of that definitely seemed to play into helping overall keep what I believe fans' attention. Definitely kept mine. Definitely disappointing, though, that so many competitive teams were hurt by those tire issues and definitely needs to be fixed. But in the end, Kurt Busch was able to get by Kyle Larson and was able to get the first win of his 2022 season in the number 45. By the way, that is one thing that's going on, is that there will not be currently a winning diecast of Kurt Busch's Kansas win card due to copyright issues with sponsors, so that is not going to be happening. So for diecast lovers everywhere, Kurt Busch's number 45 car will not have a diecast as of yet. So currently, nothing coming down the diecast thing. So for a lot of you who like your race win diecast and your race diversion diecast, currently, that's not coming, so that's definitely disappointing for all of you, I know. Kyle Larson is able to get second, so even after hitting the wall multiple times, really hanging that car out, still able to get second, so really good finish for him. Kyle Busch able to get third. Denny Hamlin had a wacky, crazy pit penalty race. That was the other thing. Tons of pit penalties. Tons and tons of pit penalties, mostly due to tires or pit equipment or to men over the wall too quickly. A lot of different stuff on that. But Denny Hamlin got hit with multiple penalties, multiple issues. Got sent back to the race due to adjustments, etc. Still able to get fourth, so that's a better end to a race than he's had in a while. All the Toyotas in the top 10, so Toyota making a comeback, that's probably the other story. Christopher Bell able to get 5th, Martin Truex Jr. in 6th. Ross Chastain, even though he had a slower car due to the incident with the tire, was able to finish all the stages in the top 10, able to collect points, he finishes 7th. Ricky Stenhouse Jr. for another race, able to get up into the top 10, so I mean, that JTG Daugherty car looking good. Alex Bowman able to get 9th, and Bubba Wallace rounds out the top 10, even though after having penalties and issues with tires, still able to get up into the top 10. Austin Cindric able to get 11th, Ryan Blaney in 12th, Austin Dillon in 13th, Brad Keselowski, even though having a slow car, having issues, etc., able to finish 14th, so top 15 finish for them, still good for the organization overall. Kevin Harvick in 15th, William Byron in 16th, so obviously William Byron with multiple issues, never quite able to get back up to the top 10, but still top 16 finish. Joey Logano 17th, Noah Gregson, his car looked good throughout the race, compared to staying back in about the 30s, able to get a finish in the top 18, but his car looked really good throughout the race, so definitely congrats to him. Corey LaJoy able to finish 7th, and Ty Dillon gets a top 20. Harrison Burton finishes 21st, Cole Custer in 22nd, Michael McDowell in 23rd. Michael McDowell looked good, seemed to be popping up into the top 15, top 10 a few times, so Front Row Motorsports seems like they have a little bit of speed and seem to be doing fairly well there. Chase Briscoe finishes 24th, Todd Gilliland 25th, Eric Almirola 26th, even with that cylinder issue. Chris Buescher able to finish in 27th, Josh Blakey 28th, Chase Elliott finishes 29th, Tyler Reddick in 30th, JJ Yeady in 31st, Eric Jones, obviously with that issue, multiple laps down, finishes 32nd, Daniel Suarez, multiple issues due to the tire issue, finishes 33rd, and Cody Rare is the final car actually running at the end of the race, who finishes in 34th. Justin Haley had electrical issues in his car due to that was causing multiple fires when they were taking the tires off and stuff, and so he ended up only finishing 64 laps. And BJ McLeod had issues with the chassis, with handling, etc., ended up only finishing 32 laps. Heading on over to the Truck Series standings, we have Ben Rhodes, who currently leads in first, John Hunter Nemechek in second, Zane Smith in third, Chandler Smith in fourth, Ty Majeski in fifth, Stuart Friesen in sixth, Carson Hocevar in seventh, Christian Eckes in eighth, Grant Enfinger in ninth, Matt Crafton in tenth, Tanner Gray in 11th, Derek Krause in 12th, Tyler Ankrum in 13th, Parker Kligman, who is not racing a full season, but with his finishes is currently sitting 14th, Matt Benedetto is in 15th, so he's improved his position a little bit. Timmy Hill in 16th, Kobe Howard 17th, Chase Petty in 18th, Austin Wayne Self in 19th, and Lawless Allen in 20th. You also have Tate Fogelman, Spencer Boyd, Chris Wright, Dean Thompson, Jesse Little, Ryan Preece, Haley Deegan, Jack Wood, Corey Heim, and Brett Holmes, who round out your top 30. When we look at the projected playoff ranks, we currently have Zane Smith leading. We have Ben Rhodes in second, John Hunter Nemechek in third, Chandler Smith in fourth, Ty Majeski in fifth, Stuart Friesen in sixth, Carson Hosval in seventh, Christian Eckes in eighth, Grant Infinger in ninth, and Matt Crafton currently rounds out the top 10 of the playoff. Currently, you have Matt Benedetto, who sits 14th in the playoff standings for the Truck Series. Moving on over to the Cup Series, your leader is still Chase Elliott. He leads with 475 compared to Ryan Blaney's 423. Ryan Blaney sits in second. Kyle Busch currently sits in third. William Byron sits in fourth. Ross Chastain in fifth. Martin Truex Jr. in sixth. Joey Logano in seventh. Alex Bowman in eighth. Kyle Larson in ninth. Christopher Bell in 10th, Kevin Harvick in 11th, Eric Almirola in 12th, Austin Dillon 13th, Chase Briscoe 14th, Tyler Reddick 15th, and Austin Cindric rounds out the top 16. Eric Jones sits in 17th, Kurt Busch in 18th, Daniel Suarez in 19th, and Denny Hamlin has moved his way from 21st to 20th. Not a very good jump, but still moving in the right direction for his season. Chris Buescher sits in 21st, Justin Haley in 23rd, Michael McDowell in 24th, Ricky Stenhouse Jr. sits in 25th, so has improved his position ever so slightly with some top 10 finishes. Ty Dillon has moved down to 26th, Cole Custer in 27th, Harrison Burton still digging his way out of a hole in 28th, Todd Gilliland has moved from 29th, Corey LaJoie, by the way, Harrison Burton currently leads the rookie standings between him and Todd Gilliland. So that's interesting to note. Forgot about that little side point. Corey LaJoie sits in 30th. Greg Selsky, of course, still sits in 31st. Cody Ware and BJ McLeod round out the top 33. Moving on over to the point standings. Chase Elliott leads the point standings in the playoffs. William Byron is in second in the playoffs. Ross Chastain in third. Kyle Busch in fourth. Ryan Blaney in fifth. Joey Logano in sixth. Alex Bowman in seventh. Kyle Larson in eighth. Martin Truex Jr. in ninth. Denny Hamlin in tenth. Kurt Busch 11th. Chase Briscoe 12th. Austin Cindric 13th. Christopher Bell in 14th. Kevin Harvick in 15th, and Eric Almirola currently sits on the final playoff position in 16th. Austin Dillon sitting there in 17th, Tyler Reddick in 18th, and Eric Jones sits 19th, with Daniel Suarez sitting in 20th. So that's your top 20 playoff standings right there. But anyways, guys, that is today's show. Hopefully you enjoyed. Make sure you come back and listen to the other episodes. If you haven't listened to previous episodes, you might want to check those out too. Might be interesting for the point standings at least. And thanks, guys, for listening. So we will be talking to you guys here next time for the Texas All-Star Race. And we'll be talking about all the Texas races, actually. But anyways, guys, hopefully you enjoyed. And we'll be talking to you guys here next time on the Pace Car Podcast. Thanks for listening.